Hey everybody, it's Avery Michaels. It's Friday again. Happy Friday. This past week, I jumped on and started this podcast talking about special needs children, my own experiences with getting my son involved in preschool and into school, introducing him into the school system, needing an attorney to do so. We talked a little bit about denial. I introduce IDEA and FAPE. I hope you guys look that up. And I promise to talk a little bit more about denial. And, of course, we all know what denial is. FAPE and IDEA. And I can do that. But I also want to talk about this crazy week that we have had here. I don't know what in the world. I mean, it has been a whirlwind, and I have learned a few things this week. I realized that I really wanted to, when I started this podcast, start at the beginning of our journey and sort of walk everybody through it. But, I mean, it might get a little boring if I don't, you know, give you something else. So I'm going to, you know, I had a script this past week. I was like reading it and everything. Now I'm just sitting here holding the phone and I'm just going to tell you what is up. So my son is now 10 years old. He's not a baby anymore. We've already been through all the twists and turns of the, you know, the elementary education and getting into preschool again, like I was talking about this past week. Getting the attorney, we had to get the attorney to mediate with the school district to get my son services, the proper services, not just, you know, this 2.5 hours, 2 days a week crap that they said, be glad we have something to offer you at all. You know, okay, no, let's change that for everybody. So we did. Instead, they ended up having to, at that point, they didn't have a program in place, but we needed immediate change. So the only program in the city was a pre-K program, and it was especially for special needs children, and they also had typical peers there as well. So we got him into that, and it was like, I want to say $1,300 a month or something like that. I mean, it was ridiculous, ridiculously unaffordable. But the school had to pay for it because they didn't have anything to offer. So while they built their program, they paid for my son to go to a proper program that had speech, occupational, and applied behavioral analysis therapies. Now, I will tell you more about that next time, but I wanted to let you know that if your school is saying they do not have the services that you require or that your child requires, then if you can find a place nearby that does, or if you can find an attorney nearby that can find a place nearby that has those services, then your school district will pay for that for you, because that is the law. If they cannot provide what you need for your child, then they have to provide that through whoever, you know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just telling you my experiences. Disclaimer, I'm not a lawyer. I'm telling you what I've been told by a lawyer and what we actually mediated through via sitting at a table with the school, which was ridiculous because they spent an exorbitant amount of money just sitting down with me and my attorney to make this decision when the special education coordinator could have just had a conversation with me about it. We could have talked about it and come to a conclusion that benefited both of us, but she was so stubborn that instead the school ended up spending, you know, $20,000 on mine and their attorney's fees that came out of the special education budget, which I now work with other parents to keep that from happening. And that, like, I help the other parents in my area try to communicate better with their special education coordinators, or even ours in our county, but in other counties and surrounding states, which every state has different laws, but basically a lot of this is federal. So as far as the IDEA and FAPE and everything, so it's across the board. But I try to help the parents understand that they can just have a conversation, because when you do get involved there, I dealt with another attorney at one point, and he was such a bully. He made me feel like I had to do this. I had to sue. I had to get, you know, and he did it to many people after me. And when that happens, you're taking the money out of the special education fund, which if you have to do it, you have to do it. You know, it is the way it is. That if the school does not want to cooperate with you, then that's their choice. If they want to lose money, they're going to lose. They're not going to win if they are going against IDEA or FAPE. And if your child has an IEP and you are advocating that IEP be, that the goals be reachable and reasonable, they should be set to a pace and a bar that you are comfortable with, and but it should be pushing your child towards, you know, a better education, not just, you know, my child was able to open a book. That, I mean, I have read some that have been just ridiculous, but either way, communication is great. Communication is great. This week alone, I don't know if it's because of the podcast or if it's because I'm a part of, you know, some advocacy groups, but this week I've had two parents that I've been able to help just by making some phone calls, and I think that was great. You know, it was great. One parent, I'm not going to mention any names for privacy purposes or any specific details as far as ages of the children, but I had one parent who had a younger child who had been through early intervention and was then just sort of left to nothing. Like they, you know, the school's supposed to take over at age 3, providing speech and occupational therapy or whatever therapies are needed. So at that point, the school said, oh, well, you know, your kid's not potty trained, you know. Okay. They are a public facility. Private schools, private daycares, they don't have to do anything for your child because they are not publicly funded by the federal government or the state, anything. They're not publicly funded. But the schools, any kind of public facility that takes any kind of federal grants at all, they have to work with your child. Now, you don't want to be that. I mean, I understand. I get it when I was doing this with my child, I was like, I don't want my kids somewhere that they don't want my child there because I don't want him to be treated wrong. But I tell you what, they make cameras for that. And, you know, you have a right to have a voice activated recorder in your child, on your child's person or in their backpack. You know, those are things that's okay. It's okay to do that if you feel uncomfortable at first until you become comfortable. Or you can request monitors be placed in the classroom and in the general area, and you can watch your child. That's what I did with my son at the facility where he went in the interim while the school was getting their preschool program set up, and my son, they were paying that interim facility fee. I watched, you know, they had a camera set up in the general area, general education area, and I could watch from a monitor that was outside of the classroom. So it was easy for me not to be in impeding my son's education, but also making sure he was safe. Anyway, again, you know me, I get off topic. You're getting to know me anyway. So this parent had been trying to get in touch with the special education coordinator in her district. She said she'd called multiple times. The person had not answered the phone and would not return her phone call. So instead of calling the number and extension that she gave me, I just called the Board of Education in her area. And when it said, you know, option for special education, press 2, I pressed that number. And the person that she had been trying to reach all that time just picked up. So I was like, wow, that's a God thing, because, I mean, I probably wouldn't have even asked for that person. I probably would have just asked for some general information. But she picked up, and when she said her name, I immediately recognized that that was the person that the parent had been trying to get in touch with. So I just said, hey, I'm looking for some general information on your special education program for this age, you know, and she tried to sell it. Boy, it was a beautiful story of, you know, of occupational therapy and speech therapy and half-day programs 5 days a week, which is fine. You know, they don't have to provide full-time care. They're not daycare centers. That's okay. It would be nice if they did, because parents like to work sometimes. You know, you like to put food on the table. That's a good thing. But, you know, they don't have to, and that's fine. Unless this goes to the second person that I helped this week. Unless they're offering that for typical children. If they're offering it for typical children, they have to offer it for special needs children. But we'll get into that in a moment. Hold on, I need a drink of water. Excuse me. So this parent, you know, she does. I told her I was going to make a phone call, and I was not going to mention her name, and so I didn't at the time. I said I wasn't going to try to negotiate anything on her behalf. I didn't say I wasn't going to mention her name. So I just asked about the general information, and I said, well, what about ABA therapy? Because a lot of times when you're dealing with a child that has behavioral issues, potty training is a huge, big deal. It's very difficult to potty train a child who has a behavioral problem, because they may use, you know, urinating on themselves or whatever as a behavioral issue. And we go through that still sometimes. And my son is 10. He'll urinate on himself, you know, 10 times a day, not because he has an infection or anything, just because he's aggravated. I've taken him to the doctor. I've taken him to a psychiatrist, and they're like, this is behavioral. He is angry. So he feels like you're making a big deal about it, which whenever you make a big deal out of something, oh my gosh, you did this again, let's change your clothes, we got to go through this, then, you know, he knows that it's something that's bothering me, so he's going to keep doing it. It, you know, it's just, that's my kid, though. Every child is different. Either way, so I asked the lady what services they offered, and she's, you know, of course, went speech therapy, occupational therapy. I said, what about ABA? She said, well, our teachers are trained. And this is always a key. I love this. Our teachers are trained in ABA therapy. Yeah. Okay. I said, well, so what if somebody needed, you know, more than that? Because a teacher being trained in ABA therapy is great. It's great. But how, I mean, that's a very broad spectrum. You know, how much training did they get? How often are they going back? Because these methods are constantly evolving. If you talk to an actual behavioral therapist, you know, it's like medicine. It's like practicing medicine. Things are always changing. They're always going to conventions, learning new techniques. So are the teachers going back and learning more? Or are they just sticking with the same old thing that they learned 15 years ago? I mean, or 10 years ago when ABA became a big deal? I mean, I want to know, you know. And so she said, well, if we have to contract out, we contract out with X service you know, which means that that company would send an ABA therapist to work with that child specifically in the classroom, which is what my son gets. And so, but not just my son benefits from this. Everybody in his contained classroom benefits from it because of the way I worded our specific situation when we had to go back to court the second time or back to mediation the second time. But because ABA, I recognize that this is, ABA is controversial, or it certainly was before insurance was covering it. But I recognize that all parents don't have the time, resources, knowledge, you know, or abilities to fight for this. So if one person, if there's one parent who's going to go for it for all the kids, not just for yours, for all of them, because it makes more sense that way. If you're going to fight it, put your gloves on, stick them up, and fight it. Fight for all the kids. It's the right thing to do. And hope that all the other parents in the classroom would do the same thing for you. And I mean that down to if you want to fight for a beanbag in the classroom, make sure everybody gets a turn on that beanbag. You know what I mean? It is so important that we all stick together. So back to original story. Speaking with this lady, and she's, you know, really talking up their services for this specific age group and everything. And I explained to her that the child that I was talking about had not been able to attend. And she says, well, what's the child's name? And I said, well, I'm not at liberty to give that information. I said, but I can give you the parents' information. I said, she said, well, who are you? And I said, well, I said, you know, I'm Avery. I said, I advocate on behalf of children with special needs and parents, and I try to keep attorneys out of the mix so that the parents can actually communicate directly with the school to keep from having to go through these mediations and things when a lot of times communication can solve everything. And right away, she said, who do I need to call to resolve this? Like, she totally changed her tune. And I gave her the mother's phone number. The next thing I know, I'm getting a message from the parent saying, I don't know what you said, but I heard from her. She called me. You know, now can you help me with my other child who also has an IEP? Absolutely, 100%. I'm down. Let's go for it. That was my answer. And so that's kind of, if we don't do that for each other, if we don't help each other, then we're kind of going to be lost. I mean, we have got to help each other. Hey, sorry about that. This is part two of Wild Wild Week. And I apologize. I didn't put my phone on Do Not Disturb, so it started ringing while I was recording. Good times. The second person that I was in touch with this week had an issue with after school care, and they actually needed after school care, and they were told that their child couldn't come to after school care because they needed a one-on-one, they needed extra treatment, they needed a para. Well, the law says that if, you know, this is, again, disclaimer, I'm not an attorney. This is what I was told by an attorney. If the school offers typical children after school care, then they have to offer your child after school care. And they should offer your child whatever accommodations that they need to stay in after school care. This is not for everybody. This was not for my child. I did not want this for my son. I wished it was something that he could attend and we could be a part of, because he does miss out on being around typical children more than he should. Like, I wished he had more time around typical children. But after school care is loud. and that's too much for him. They did say that they would take him down to a room by himself. Okay, yeah, I'm not comfortable with that. Like a para and him being down in a room by themselves. He would want to play with other kids, and I don't know where the happy medium would fall, because it's either the loud gym with all the other kids outside to play with all the other kids, or him downstairs in the classroom with the para and probably begging to go home at that point. And that just wasn't for us at this point. It might be at some point, but right now I have a private babysitter that helps me out when I need her, which will not always be available to me. So I hope that we can get something figured out at some point that's better for us. But either way, my son is very low functioning, so it's not the same for everybody. If your child is high functioning and they do want to, you know, be a part of that after school care, but they need a little extra attention, then the school should accommodate you. I think that's something to communicate about rather than get an attorney about, if you can. Again, you know, I'm all about flexing. If you need to flex with the lawyer, go for it. If you don't have to do that and you can communicate, make a phone call, be serious, be taken seriously, I think is probably the main issue here, is that, you know, so many parents are dismissed as ignorant. You know, they don't know the law. They assume we don't know the law. They assume we don't know what we're talking about. So we're dismissed as ignorant. Hi, my name is Avery. I have a degree in radiology. I write books. I'm a 9-time published author. I'm not ignorant. And even if I didn't have a degree in anything and I had not graduated from high school, that does not constitute ignorance. What is ignorant is not being knowledgeable in your child's rights. And I hope that that's why you're listening to this podcast, so that you can say, okay, I'm going to become completely literate in knowing what is owed to my child. I want to know what the school owes my child. I want to know what my child's rights are. And if you need to reach out to an attorney for that, a lot of times these attorneys do this. These are passion projects. Yes, they get paid if they go to mediation, but they don't always make it that far. Sometimes they will give you free advice. Most of the time they will. They'll talk to you on the phone. They'll invite you to their office. They'll talk to you. Those are the ones you want to work with. The ones that immediately throw a contract in front of you. Yeah, I snapped. You heard that. Throw a contract in front of you. I call them grease balls. They want money. They want to dip into the school's education fund. They see it as an easy. They think you're ignorant too. Don't be ignorant. Know your child's rights. And ignorant is not, I'm not trying to be ugly. That is not another way of saying stupid. Stupid is completely different than ignorant. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge about a topic. And, you know, I'm ignorant to a lot of things in this world. I'm going to tell you know, I'm not smart by any means about, I mean, I can't grow a flower for anything. I can't. There's a lot of things I can't do. But, you know, and I'm ignorant in a lot of aspects of this education thing. I'm still learning. That's why this week has been so wild, because this week, and even in the past few weeks, we've been fighting, and this is, I'm done talking about education for right now, so if that's all you wanted to hear about, then you can stop listening if you want to, but we had an issue with a dental issue, and my son's dentist that he's been seeing for the past couple of years stopped practicing. Well, okay. I didn't think that would be a problem. The dentist he saw prior to seeing that dentist, I just called their office and I was like, well, hey, you know, I need to bring my son in because my son has a chipped tooth and from a motor vehicle accident and it just keeps getting chipped off. And so besides, it's time for a clean-in. Let's just do it all. That dentist said, no thanks, we don't want to see your son anymore. And I'm thinking, what? Because they had called me so many times to schedule his next cleaning. And finally I said, hey, we've started seeing somebody new. I didn't say it in a mean way. In fact, I said, but please keep us there on file because they're very close to our house. I said, please keep us on file in case we have an urgent situation. We would love to come back to see you again. And their office said, great, perfect, sounds good, wish you the best. There was nothing, no hard feelings, no problems there. I don't know what happened. I still don't know what happened to make them decide they didn't want to see my son. My son is a 10-year-old boy with the mind of a 2-year-old. There's nothing he could have done to be treated in that manner. So I was shocked. I cried. I asked for explanation. And the only explanation I was given was, for the safety of your son and our staff, we can't handle him here. Take him to the clinic downtown for special needs children or special needs persons, which we do have a clinic here in Birmingham. But they don't do restorative dentistry. They only just pretty much, you know, if there's a problem, they just, you know, I guess pull the tooth. I'm not real sure. Besides, they're closed for renovations until like mid-November or December. And so it wasn't an option. He couldn't be seen for this tooth that's been bothering him. So I really got frustrated. I started calling around. And I reached out to all my advocacy groups and looked at all the places that they had been taking their children. And all these places I'm calling them, they're saying, oh yeah, we treat special needs children. As long as they can sit still, as long as they're good with a weighted blanket, as long as they can watch TV, we have TVs, we have weighted blankets, we have sensory rooms where the lights are down. Okay, no, we need a papoose board. This is like level 9. My child is going to come off this chair if you don't strap him down. My husband and I will strap him down ourselves if we need to, but we need this tooth repaired and we need to get his teeth cleaned so that he doesn't get any cavities. Because what you want to do is prevent anything from happening. That's the point of preventative dentistry, right? Right. Okay. So, yeah, nobody likes to use papoose boards anymore. And I can only assume it's because of the laws now on restraining. Restraining is bad, you know. Okay. Well, sir, I'm his mother, and I'm saying that to get this done, he would have to be restrained. And I'm willing to restrain him, you know, with the papoose board. I can't physically restrain him. He's a large child. He's 10. I can't physically restrain him. So, you know, we need a papoose board. And what a papoose board is it's just like a board, and it's got some straps that go across their legs, and it goes across their chest, and it keeps them from, you know, just jumping up and slapping and hitting and scratching and doing all the stuff that they can do if they are aggressive, which my son can become aggressive at times, especially when he feels like he's being attacked at the dentist office. Dentists are not pleasant, in my opinion, either, but they are a necessary thing. So, you know, either way, he had to go. I couldn't find anybody who wanted to take him. And even the one place that I found that had a papoose board said, well, we're going to have to meet him first and make a decision on whether we want to treat him if he's, you know, combative. Okay, that is not cool. So I called the place, the advocacy place that I spoke about in my first podcast. And they were just, the woman that I spoke with, she said, her name was Wendy. And she said, I'm really not familiar with, you know, she said, I'm not familiar. She said, I don't deal with this a lot. She said, I handle the education part of things. And I said, well, me too. I deal with a lot of the education part. I can tell you just about anything you want to know about the education part. But dentistry is out of my league. I mean, I know that a physician can dismiss a patient for not being compliant. Now, I know that because, you know, I do have a degree related to medicine. So I know that that is a thing. It's okay to do that for a physician to dismiss a patient for being non-compliant, for being a drug addict, for abusing substances, or, you know, other things that they feel that they can't help that person. They are allowed to dismiss patients for those reasons. But is a dentist allowed to say, we're not going to treat your child because he has special needs and it might be too hard? And that was my question, is that okay? And her answer was, no, that is illegal. That is illegal. So, okay, back to the drawing board. I don't want to get a lawyer. I don't want to go through this whole thing. I don't want to sue anybody. I'm tired of suing to get my way. Let's talk it through. So, but as I continued to talk to Wendy about this, my little advocate lady, she was so sweet. She said, you know, well, what do you want to do? And I said, she was going to talk to their lawyer on that they had on staff there and see what they thought. But everybody's going on vacation because of the Labor Day holiday coming up. And so, unfortunately, there's a hurricane coming, so I hope they're not going south. And if you Floridians are listening, we're praying for you. So we talked at length about this dentistry situation, and she said, you know, it's they can't do this, and, you know, I'm sorry, my dog is barking, changing locations. She said they can't do that. You know, they can't. They have to treat everybody the same. So, my answer is okay. Well, that was simple. You know, she could have just gotten her lawyer on staff to make some phone calls. But I said, no, if we're going to change this, let's change it for everybody. So in that case, there's a lot more work involved. We're not going to just, you know, say, okay, let's get a lawyer to make a phone call to get a dentist real quick. Make some threats and get a dentist for my son. We're actually going to get something in place, put in place for our city where everybody can get dental care. But we're just trying to navigate that at this point. Listen, if you ever think you've run out of battles to fight when you have a special needs child, just look around. You're missing something. I feel like if I'm not fighting with somebody about something, or arguing with somebody about something, or even thinking about what are we about to get it into next, then I am missing something, because it feels like there's always something to fight, and that's unfortunate. But there are so many holes in the system that we're dealing with, and we can do this. We can do it. We can do it together. We just have to keep working together. And this week, I found a dentist who was perfectly happy to work with my child. And he found a huge cavity that had eaten away at half of my son's tooth, because my son's previous dentist was only doing, you know, just the bare minimum, I guess. Just wasn't really getting in there and getting the job done. And so, because this cavity had been going on for some time. So now that we're seeing this new dentist, he is amazing. And I'm really happy that he cares enough to you know, work with my son. And his staff was very caring. And if you're in the Birmingham area, the name of the place is Smiles for Keeps. And they also serve the underserved, which I think is, you know, very admirable. And the dentist was just very kind about trying to help my son. And they were so patient, and they worked really fast because my son was uncomfortable. And so they worked really fast to help him and get that cavity sealed off, the chip restored, the teeth cleaned. And it only took just a few minutes to get all that done. And then for us to, you know, got my son up, put him in the car. My husband went with him while I stayed with the dentist, and we made a plan to fix that cavity. While that's more details than you really needed, I'm just telling you that there's always somebody who has some compassion, even when it feels like you have reached the depths of just despair and there's no compassion left. You will find somebody who cares enough to help you, to help your child. And that's where you find the strength. I feel like, I find a lot of my strength in prayer. I don't know where everybody finds their strength. I hope, you know, that some of you do find your strength there. But I also draw strength from the fact that I know that there are caring people out there, compassionate people, people who do want to talk it out, people who do want to negotiate, have a conversation, and go through these things and have a personalized experience with your child and not go through a lawyer and a mediation and, you know, do all these things that are unnecessary steps most of the time. Sometimes they're necessary. Again, I'm not diminishing the ability to flex those muscles. You need to do it, you do it, you go for it. You send me an email, I'll tell you who to call. I'm telling you, I am down for that when it's needed. But when it's not needed, it's like, don't trust somebody that is so eager, you know, to get involved that, you know, they start throwing contracts at you as soon as they meet you, you know, as far as a lawyer is concerned. Because I've been down that road, and that was just pitiful. There's so many ways we can be fooled. I've been there. I have been the ignorant one. I have been there. I still wear the dunce hat sometimes, I'm telling you. And I'm sure I will many, many more times as long as this battle goes on, you know, and in many ways, I will be the ignorant one. But in the here and now, in today, I feel like this week I was showed compassion. My child was showed compassion, and our family was blessed with a dentist that cared for us. And we were also able to bless another family with advice and help just by making a couple of phone calls and sending a few emails. And it really didn't take much at all. There's sometimes where you have to go through a child's IEP. If you're going to be an advocate, you're going to have to really know what you're going to do and, you know, try to help the parent understand each aspect of IEPs. But this time, all I had to do was make a couple phone calls and send a couple emails. And that didn't even require me to get off the couch, honey. I mean, it was pretty easy. So, again, happy Friday. And bless up and bless out. That's all I can tell you. Y'all have a good weekend.